alongside Hammer. We got Senegal up 2-0 on Qatar at the World Cup. They're in the second half. We'll keep you updated on that. Gord Wilson joins us next hour from Anaheim this afternoon. It's the Sens and Ducks at 3 o'clock here on TSN 1200. That, of course, was John Herdman, coach of Canada at the World Cup. That was the first clip, was him right after the match, the loss to Belgium. And then that was him yesterday with a bit of a mea culpa, but a bit of a not of a mea culpa. So, certainly has become a storyline in Croatia. Is it a storyline in the Canadian locker room? Somebody who can give us some perspective on that is the captain of Atletico Ottawa, Drew Becky, kind enough to join us again this morning on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. How are you doing this morning, Drew?
Morning, guys. I'm great. How are you?
Good. Appreciate the time again. Great insight the other day before match one. You heard, and I'm sure saw, John Herdman's comments right after the match, heat of the moment sort of thing. And then you're just listening there to what he had to say yesterday. How is what he had to say post-match, how do you think that was would have been received by the players, in the Canadian players, in that moment?
Well, you know, as a player and seeing somebody who's is always passionate as a coach, that's his number one quality. I think you saw them in the group out after the result. You know, guys are proud of themselves. He was proud of them, and that comes from a proud moment. So you're liking that your coach is backing you guys. You know, backing us, backing the players, and you're going to follow him into battle because he's there for that, and he's really willing to do anything to help the team win. And you saw that. You know, I think my analysis the other day was a bit wrong because we didn't sit back. We weren't scared of the number two team in the world, and so it was. I take those comments, you know, as an excitement. It comes from, you know, I don't think he definitely didn't mean it out of disrespect, but you got to show that you're fearless because these teams have years and years of experience that we don't have.
But of course, if you're Croatia, you will take that. I'm sure you've seen the front page headline that circulated on social media, Drew, with the naked John Herdman with a maple leaf appropriately placed. Let's put it that way. So you're in the other room. I'll flip that around here. Does this truly matter to you? How do you feel?
Well, I think as Croatia, you maybe take it as a bit of a disrespect. You're talking about the 2018 finalists, and you know, you got Luka Modric, you got players on their team that are world class. Maybe it gives you a little bit of fuel. It almost reminds you of the time that you know when you're watching The Last Dance, and Michael Jordan would, you know, not to say they have to make up things to get them motivated, but John Herdman has given them fuel to the fire. But he's also putting the Croatian media, you know, giving them stuff to write about. So you look at one thing, we can't make it more than it is. We as Canadians need to show that we're fearless. And, you know, if the Croatians take it poorly, I understand that. But we'll see on the field on Sunday.
Well, you, like 3.7 other million Canadians, were watching on Wednesday afternoon as Canada fell 1-0 to Belgium, a game from an analytical point of view, and I don't know how much of a believer in analytics you are. It was one of the most dominant matches that any team has played at a World Cup in decades, yet they still lost. So how are the players feeling about that, knowing how well they played, and yet still at the end of the day they didn't get a result?
I think it still gives the players a lot of confidence. You know, they're going to watch video back and see numerous occasions where they did. Their press was very effective, and you saw that Kevin De Bruyne spoke about that. We couldn't break their press down on the day. Roberto Martinez was very impressed with Canada's game and how they pressed. You know, we got a little tired at the end of the game, but you look back, we could have had three penalties. I know we missed one. Fair enough. That happens, but we could have had two other occasions, one definitely that should have been called. I'm not sure why it wasn't checked on VAR. But again, Herdman's going to have more and more ammunition when he's looking back at the video. Guys, we did this right. Guys, we did that right. Hey, can we be a little bit more clinical in certain situations to get a goal early? Then that would have made, you know, Belgium sweat a little bit. But at the end of the day, it's an unfortunate result, but you take a lot of confidence from it.
I know we covered this off a lot yesterday, and I'm sure you've already talked about it, Drew, but would you agree, you know, with your sister and the other panelists and many people that thought, you know what, I don't think Davey should have taken that penalty?
It's hard for me to say in the moment. You know, you got Davies, who's a world-class player, somebody who symbolizes our country and what we've achieved so far in the European club stage. But if you're looking at, you know, former, you know, matches that guys were taking penalties, it was more Hoylett or Jonathan David. But in the heat of the moment, you know, somebody grabs the ball and, you know, you don't want to make a fuss about it. But usually, you know, that those things are set before the game, right? You know, you're working on set pieces throughout training. And before the game, most clubs either have an iPad or little sheets on the wall of who's taking penalties first. So Davies might have been chosen by the staff and the players to take the penalties if there was one there. So we don't know that side of the game. Maybe that was the case. And you know what? If he puts it in the back of net, we don't say anything. So we're all here sitting, and we got to make those opportunities count. But you know, at the end of the day, we'll see if somebody takes the next one, who it is, and go from there. It's a disappointing thing, but you know, I would back Davies again in that situation because he's shown it at the highest level, and you gotta support your players whether they make it or not.
With Drew Becky, captain of Atletico Ottawa, we're talking World Cup soccer. Canada takes on Croatia Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Seems to me, Drew, and just kind of listening to the various people who've either played the game or been involved in the game for a long time, it varies by team, whether it be club or country, as to whether the coach makes the decision on who takes a penalty or the players decide amongst themselves. Do you have a preference?
You know, obviously you have to show that you're consistently doing well in training. It's a little bit different when you're going against, you know, your own goalies every day in training. They may know where you go. Some guys don't like to change up their direction. I've always been, you know, you basically can see who is the favorite at, you know, at doing penalties in training. And so guys will come to an agreement, coaches will come to an agreement to say X player is going to be doing it in games. And you know, maybe Davies had hit them all week and hit them very well and scored on every one. And maybe at the last second he changed what he wanted to do. We don't know. We can't go inside his mind. But I'm of the thought that, you know, the coach is going to pick who he thinks is best. And most of the time the players will be in agreement of that.
You've taken a lot of penalties in your day as a professional player. Your sister Janine, who's on the TSN broadcast, was talking about if she had a criticism of Alphonso Davies in the lead-up, because we know there's a period of time between when the referee stopped the game because he's going to look at VAR, which kind of was an indication, hey, there's going to be a penalty coming up, to the actual time that he struck the ball was probably a couple of minutes. Like, it's a long time, and he and maybe it was a lack of experience or whatever it might have been. He put the ball, he stood over the ball for a long time, and that he didn't control the process of taking the penalty. Are you in agreement with your sister on that, Davies could have done better there?
Yeah, you know, that was a very interesting point that Janine brought up. I hadn't thought about that before she said it, so kudos to her. It is a very good point because, you know, it talks about the mental side of the game, and that's ever more present than the physical side. And you're going against probably the best goalkeeper in the world in Courtois, who's sitting at 6'5", 6'6", a huge goalie, who's been in that situation many times in the Champions League, for Belgium in the World Cup. And you have to be in control of everything you can up until the point that they say they blow the whistle. And to hold the ball, you see Ronaldo does that very well. You see other big-time penalty takers, Neymar. You know, they've done that situation so many times that it becomes second nature. And it's a big learning curve for Alphonso there. And I think if you see him take another one, he'll change the way he does it. So again, a very interesting point by Janine, but she's right. Yeah, he should have held that ball and put it down when he was really ready. I'm a big believer in the what's called a lion's breath. You know, you're taking a huge breath right before you're about to do something big, whether it's a free kick, a penalty, because it refocuses you right in that specific moment. But you know, again, learning curve. Janine had that in the last World Cup for Canada, and so she was really qualified to speak on that behalf.
All right, with that. Should John Herdman make any changes to his starting lineup against Croatia on Sunday?
You know, it really will depend on how guys recover, if there's any knocks or injuries. I'd be interested to see Osorio come in a little bit earlier. But, you know, it also depends on how Atiba Hutchinson does, if he can recover. He's not going to be able to play 90 minutes every game. But him and Eustáquio were really key the other day of disrupting play, and that'll be ever more important against Croatia, who has a fantastic midfield. It just depends on how Croatia comes out. I think we can attack in behind a little bit more. Maybe we get Kyle Lahren going a little earlier too. again, I think you start with the same 11. They deserve to. They deserve to play. I don't think anybody had a very poor performance. And so I would really like to see them go at it again. And if you have to make subs a little bit earlier because of the amount of games in a certain amount of days, then I think that's something that Herdman would have a plan for already.
As you mentioned, the Canadians, to a pretty big extent, were able to control Kevin De Bruyne in that match, the star midfielder for Belgium, Luka Modric. Same deal for Croatia. Is it the same game plan, or is the setup for Croatia a little bit different that the Canadians, in terms of defending when they don't have the ball, are they going to play that a little bit differently?
Well, I think you're going to see Croatia attack the wide flanks a little bit more. You got a player named Ivan Perisic, who's very good at getting in and getting the ball into the box. So you may see a little bit different play, but you know, Croatia will also learn a lot from how Canada pressed. There were definitely pockets that Belgium missed in the you know, certain press times that Canada had, and if they would have exploited those, we would have been in trouble. So hopefully we can see that as well. Little spots in between, you know, the back four and the midfield that, you know, Croatia will look to exploit. So hopefully we can keep them at bay. And then again, we're going to have a good 60-70 minutes of pressing that we need to capitalize on our chances. Can we win the ball back higher and score? But it's to be seen. It's to be seen.
And maybe just to piggyback that question, you know, give us your strengths and weaknesses of Croatia. You know, what makes them great, and where can they be exploited?
Well, again, you're going to talk about experience like Belgium, a team that was in the World Cup final last time, and their strengths in the midfield, right? Keeping the ball, keeping them locked in is I don't think Belgium did as well against Canada as I thought they would. You know, my analysis to begin was, you know, we're going to have to soak up pressure and kind of hit them on a counterattack. I think Croatia will have a little bit more possession than Belgium did. They do a good job of interchanging in between the midfield and their front line, and they do well of exploiting the spaces in behind. So it'll be a similar type of game in that way. We might not have all the possession, but again, I was a little bit surprised at how well we pressed. So we'll see if they can break that press. If they do, they have speed up top, and they're very clinical. The Croatians are always known for their goal-scoring ability, and we'll have to be on the lookout for that.
Drew Becky, captain of Atletico Auto, is joining us. We're talking about the World Cup. As an overall in the tournament so far, Drew, and we're just into, you know, the second matches for the first of the teams as of today. We've had four scoreless games through the game ones for all the teams, and there was only one in the entire 2018 tournament, only one scoreless match. We've already had four. Does that speak to the fact that you know, these teams, basically everybody was brought together from their club teams, and yeah, while they trained together in the summer, and maybe they had, you know, as little as a week, or in some cases, you know, not even that. Some players joined very late. There's not a lot of cohesion early because the teams just haven't worked together. And do you expect that to get better as the tournament goes on?
Yeah, you're having the World Cup for the first time in between most players' seasons, right? So, you know, even them starting in August, September, October, into November, they're still, yeah, they haven't been together. Your analysis is correct. I think there's a bit of, you know, time where they need to get going. There's nerves. There's a lot of first-time players in the World Cup. There's a lot of young teams. And teams are still filling each other out. So, you know, in the first game of the World Cup, you have a lot of nerves. You're not wanting to lose. So maybe the tactics are a little bit less adventurous. And to that sense, we're seeing less and less goals. You know, the weather's also very hot. It's humid. There's a lot of things that have been different in this World Cup as opposed to other ones. So it'll take some time to score some goals. But, you know, you also saw England put six up the other day. So there's that give and take, and hopefully we see a little bit more exciting games.
Anyone, you know, you mentioned England six goals, which is certainly impressive. Now you have to take in the caliber of the opposition, although then Iran bounced back and beat Wales this morning. Maybe one or two sides that have really impressed you through game one.
Well, obviously, we're going to go with Canada. That's the first one for me. I think anybody would say that, and I'm sure a lot of the media are saying that as well. Another one, you know, I thought Ghana was very good yesterday against Portugal. They frustrated them. It'll be interesting to see them. I hope they come out of the group. It was great that they clawed back and only now have a minus one goal differential. It was really exciting to see some of the African teams do well, and I hope that we see them come out of their group because there's just so many interesting storylines.
Yeah, good stuff. Great analysis, as always. Enjoy the game on Sunday, Canada-Croatia, and we'll chat with you again next week, maybe ahead of the game against Morocco.
Great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. Really appreciate it. There's Drew Becky, captain of Atletico Ottawa, joining us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Gabriel Pizza, the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. Great stuff. Man, if Janine gives up her spot in the TSN desk, boom, we'll just take Drew over.
That's what they call a good get, yeah. JR, to use him again, and you'll use him again next week. Why wouldn't you? Yeah, that's great.
Found money, as we say, in the interview business. All right, good stuff from Drew. Again, we'll have the Netherlands-Ecuador game. Got my little orange shirt here underneath my sweater on this morning. Just a little touch of the orange.
How tight is it? Are we talking like Bunda Buccaneers?
No, it's a big one. It's a big one, and I haven't grown into it, so it's all good.
All right.
All good. We'll have that match for you coming up at 11. And, of course, we got the Sens pregame show at 1 as soon as that match is over. And then Dean and Gord will have the call of the Sens and the Ducks this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Gord will join us live from Anaheim in about a half hour or so from now. Also, before 11, Lloydy, it's your last chance to beat Hammer at Sens or Sensibility. We'll have tickets for the Sens-San Jose game, which is a week from Saturday. Up for grabs, return of Erik Karlsson to Canadian Tire Center. So we'll have a match of or a game of Sens or Sensibility next hour as well as we roll on here on a Sens game day Friday on Sports Radio TSN 1200. I think for a lot of reasons, a lot of people are feeling that today. How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the show. 9:51 on this Friday morning. It's JR. It's Steve Lloyd. One final show. Filling in for Simmer, who's back on Monday alongside Hammer. Gord Wilson joins us live from Anaheim next hour to set up the Sens and Ducks game this afternoon that we'll have for you. Creech and CJ have your pregame show at 1, and then 3 o'clock, Dean and Gord will have the call. Sens and Ducks. After this afternoon's game, Sens remain probably at the same hotel because they play the LA Kings coming up on Sunday late night, 10:30 face-off to wrap up the four-game road trip, 0-2 to start. Today was, there were no NHL games yesterday. Aside from the Sens game, there were supposed to be 13 others today on Black Friday, including a bunch of games this afternoon. One game that will not be played is the game between Colorado and Nashville at the Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. And that is because, I'll tell you what's happened. Thank you, Tilda? Tilda Woods? Was that her name? Tilly? Tilda? Anyway, Tiger Woods' mom. The game has been postponed due to a water main break that has, quote, significantly impacted the event level of the arena. A makeup date will be announced as soon as it can be confirmed. Nashville also scheduled to play at home tomorrow versus Columbus, that game in question as well. So, do you have a security person that kind of, I understand that a water main break would, takes a while to get things shut off, but... Is it going to reach a level? You remember when it happened with the Sens, Lloydy? Was it in the summer just before training camp?
It was. Yeah, it was in the and I was chatting with Hammer a little bit about this during the break, and our guest will I'm gonna pick at a scab with Gord on this, what happened.
Do it.
So there was a flooding, similar situation, like water main, something like that. And so our office was affected, where our studio is at the rink. It was at that level. So everything in that had to be taken out, right? And get it out of there because it's flooded. And everything was kind of put in a common area at lower gate 3 and just piled underneath kind of the staircase area. Yada, yada, yada. Long story short, some things that were fine grew legs, including Gord's microwave.
Oh, what? I don't know if I heard that.
Oh, yeah, that was one thing, and there was a couple of other items, and Gord was, and I don't blame him, he was none too happy. All of a sudden, things just disappeared, and it was a microwave that he has at the cottage, and he brings it in for the hockey season, right? And it grew legs.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah. So I think it was, I want to say summer of 18, somewhere around
right
there.
After they went to the final, or the conference final?
I think it was around there. Yeah.
How high so this was at the arena level. You remember how high the water was?
I was never there to see it, but it was enough that it was, noticeably on the floor everywhere. So everything had to get up off the floor and move stuff just to be safe.
And of course, and this was an actual flood. Remember what happened in Calgary? This would be 10 years ago.
That was like eighth row, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was up into the stands. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But that happened in the middle of the summer, so they had time to get the fix in. But But that was due to a natural flood of the Bow River, I believe it was, in Calgary. That's not a water main break like we saw in Ottawa a few years ago, and now apparently has happened at the Bridgestone Arena in Nashville, causing today's game to be postponed.
Now, when you said, hey, is there not somebody there? Like, come on, could you not have turned it off quicker? Could you not? Whatever, right? So I thought, you know what? I thought of Bull Durham. Stay with me on this one. Bull Durham, when they're in a long losing streak, and they decided we need a rain out. And they went to the field the day before. They turned all the night before. They've been at the bar. They turned all the sprinklers on, right? It's a miracle. We got ourselves a rain out. So I was wondering, how's Nashville playing lately? It's okay. Well, they're coming off a loss to the Red Wings. And they beat the Yotes before that, and they lost to the Lightning. But then they won the last three prior to that.
Yeah.
So they've won 4 of 6. So I don't think this is an intentional rain out by the Preds.
Would hope not. Would hope not. Absolutely. Anyway. By the way, Leafs play Minnesota. Habs play the Hawks. Both those games face off at 2 this afternoon. Black Friday down in the States. And, of course, Sens and Ducks go at it at 3 o'clock. Quick note, by the way, on the hockey birthday front, the man known as the Machine, Magnus Harvidsson, 51 years old today. Probably still looks like he's about 30, if I had to guess. Because he's done a few spins, right? I've seen him do a couple of interviews, kind of online kind of deal. Mm-hmm. Still looks, he's always tested as the best testing athletically. Ottawa Senator every training camp, it seemed. That's why he got the nickname The Machine. Anyway, he's 51 today. And another former Sen, Marcus Hogberg. I had to look up. I couldn't remember if it was Marcus or Magnus. Marcus Hogberg, 28 today. If you're wondering
Hoggy.
wondering where he is, he's back in the Swedish Hockey League. Playing his second full season there. He's the number one starter for his club, Linköping.
Does he still play that unorthodox style that you and Simmer talk about a lot of being...
Outside the net?
Outside the net.
Playing the net outside the blue. I was all for his theory, right? Because we, you know, again, to reiterate, an NHL player is a split second, and often, and I've been told this by players, and this was a criticism of Marc-Andre Fleury when he wore those yellow and gold pads when he played for Pittsburgh. And then they went to, like, that happened when they were playing Ottawa, right? They went to some eye specialist and said, like, that's the wrong color because your eyes glom onto that just a split second quicker. And so a player that's just looking for that flash of gold, that's where the net is, you know, you're basically directing him more to where the
to shoot. You're tricking them to shoot off the net.
Exactly. I thought Hogberg was all over it with his decision to play outside of the blue at times, where he would get the opposition to shoot the puck at him when he wasn't actually playing in front of the twine. I thought that was awesome.
It didn't work.
Revolutionary.
It didn't work for him, unfortunately. No. But I thought, listen, full marks for trying.
Jacques Plante put a mask on. Augie tried that. Revolutionary.
Anyway, he's back in Sweden. He's turning 28 years old. So a happy birthday to those two former Ottawa Senators. Bring you up to date on the World Cup game, which is now got about 30 seconds left in stoppage time. Senegal is going to win its first match as it is up 3-1 on host Qatar, although Qatar did get a goal. So their fans were a little bit happy about that, but they're going to lose the game, which is... I don't know if this would officially eliminate them. I'm trying to think of how the math would work. No, I guess they could win their last match and we could have three teams at 3 points anyway. Pretty much eliminates the host country from moving on. At 11 o'clock this morning, we'll have the Netherlands and Ecuador full match in the big game I think a lot of people are looking forward to this afternoon. It's going to be a good afternoon for sports with Sens and Ducks. Also, the U.S. and England will kick off at 2 o'clock. Of course, the English all over Iran in their first game, scored 6 goals. U.S. held to a draw by Wales, which has already lost this morning to Iran.
So I'm cheering for U.S. USA.
Yeah?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I got to help out the Welsh, right?
I think your Welsh are pretty much cooked at this point.
No. Come on, man.
Well, I mean, I guess they could beat England. And they'd love to beat England. Don't get me wrong. You know what I saw? I meant to bring this up. You watched Welcome to Wrexham, right? The Ryan Reynolds show?
Yep.
Did you notice when Gareth Bale scored the penalty shot goal and they showed all the Welsh fans? Did you pick up on the fact that
I think I saw the guy.
The guy,
what are you going to say?
The guy who's the divorced dad, who's a big
yes,
part of
that
the
was him, wasn't
base.
It? Thank he you for bringing that up.
He was there. They absolutely showed it. Like, Unless a lot
did
of
they
Welsh
verify people... that? Because I thought no. It was him, and I never I would never double checked.
No, and I never saw any social media posts on it. But a hot.
Well, I'm glad you think the same then.
1,000% that guy is in Qatar now. His sons, who are a big part of the show, because he's showing with them all the time, and he's bringing them all the matches, and it's a nice. That's the kind of the human element sidebar to this documentary series. Welcome to Wrexham. I didn't see his sons with him in Qatar. They didn't make the trip, it would appear. Just him.
One of the funniest moments for me in that entire... I'm not going to ruin it for people, don't worry, if you still want to watch it. So McElhinney and Reynolds end up... They go to Wrexham a few times during it, but I think it's the first time that they go for, like, the week, right? And so they go to a game, and they're going in the community, but they're at the pub that is right at the stadium. And this guy's allowed... He's in there, and a few of the other people that are going to be in the dock, and they're in the pub, and he's asking questions. And they're asking fans, what do you think's wrong with our team? And they're being very... And he gets very serious and just starts dumping on the CEO that they've hired to run it all.
Oh, yeah.
My God. It was hilarious.
I'm not sure if he was 8 cups deep at that point.
Was hammered.
Yeah.
He was hammered.
Anyway, that's what makes those shows, right?
Absolutely. Oh, it was good.
There were a few characters within that Welcome to Wrexham show. All right, we'll take a break just past 10 o'clock. We got a big hour coming up, including a visit with Gord Wilson live from Anaheim. We'll play Sens or Sensibility. Your chance to win 100 level seats to see the Sens take on San Jose a week from tomorrow night at Canadian Tire Center. All straight ahead right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Back 10-10. Yes, it's another bonus hour of some amalgam of In the Box and The Morning Show. Steve Lloyd's here. He's a consistent one. Filling in for Simmer. By the way, he'll be back on from holiday on Monday.
Do I have to do everybody's job? You know what I mean?
You know what? That's a very valuable skill. You're like you're like a good Swiss Army knife. I can put you anywhere.
Okay. Now, listen, I got a text from my wife. She's doing some Black Friday. I'm worried that she's still going to be out and she wants me to join her. Oh. So if you need me till 1, I'm good. I could use the built-in excuse.
Just tell her, you know what? Just tell her. It's like there are many, mostly men, who have convinced their significant others that a good golf game lasts 7 hours. So you can just say a good morning show lasts 7. And sometimes... It does. You would know this. That it lasts a little bit longer than it's scheduled for.
I know guys in beer league hockey I've played over the years. Some weeks you don't play in some leagues, right? Consistent. And they don't tell their wife. They still, Tuesday night, put the gear in the car. See you later.
Oh, that's awesome. Just awesome. All right, let's go out to, well, we hope, sunny California, where it is 8:11 in the morning. And welcome our good friend, Gord Wilson, color analyst for the Sens, joining us this morning. How are you doing this morning, Goody?
Well, I'm just getting word that Graham Creech is sick. He'll not be available to host the pregame show. So, Steve, you're up. You are a lucky guy. We used to do that in summer hockey. I always added a week. We always played 12 or 13 weeks. It was always 13 or 14 weeks.
Yes.
That's one more week here.
All right, you said it out loud. I remember that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm doing fine, thank you, fellas. Thanks
good.
For having me this morning.
Excellent. Did I just say it was 8:11 where you are, Gord? Because it's, of course, 7:11, 3 hours.
7:11, yes. We're nice. Open for business always. You know what? This is the one detriment to going out west, for me at least, personally. I have never, ever been able to adjust to the time change. And so I've been up since probably about, 4 o'clock my time. So 7 years.
Some say that's the best way to get over jet lag is to just keep your, if it's going to be a trip. Now, this is a trip of about a week for you guys, but just keep yourself on Eastern time. And then when you get back here, you're kind of, that's easy for us to say that don't travel as much as you do, of course. But all that being said, that does segue to my first question for you, Gord, which is this game faces off body clocked for where you guys are at noon, which is about as early as you can play an NHL game. Don't know how many times you've done that, not from your perspective as a broadcaster, but for the players. Did they talk about that at all, just the adjustment to such an early start for the game today?
Yeah, absolutely, and they adjust their eating habits accordingly as well. I'm guessing no one would have had a big meal yesterday based on the early start today. So they adjust accordingly, and away they go. I mean, it's the same time for everybody, right, who are playing. So it's been an interesting week, to say the least, and on the practice ice an awful lot. There was an optional skate yesterday for the team, and I think about half of them took part in it, and then obviously right to the rink this morning.
DJ Smith and his availability, I noticed Gord yesterday really acknowledged, like, he knows. This falls on me. This team needs to win more games. And I am the coach of this team, and I get all of that. Having said that, there are two games left here on this trip. It has not gone well. What is the mood around the group right now?
Well, the atmosphere is still pretty good, and I made a point of asking one of the veterans, Derek Brassard, just that yesterday, and he said we're still very positive. We're still knowing that there are certain areas of the game that need to be not just cleaned up but focused on, and in terms of giving up a goal, and San Jose was a great example. They gave up an early second period goal that made it 2-1 for San Jose after a terrific first period. And the next thing you know, they give up another one. And I didn't think either goal was very good on Cam Talbot. And as a result, he got the hook just after that third goal. But they weren't able to respond. And well, you can say they had a good third period, but they still allowed a couple more goals and lost it 5-1. So the momentum shifting has not gone well with the hockey club in terms of when they have it, they take advantage of it, and then when they lose it, they can't get it back. I thought the Vegas game, they were able to handle the momentum shifts a lot better. Now, they still lost the game, and I know analytics will say, well, they deserved a better fate, and they played a much better game, but you know, I was reminded yesterday, if you show me a good loser, and I'll show you a loser. That's the bottom line, and that's what you're getting at, Steve. They lost again, and they have to stop losing. But they have to stop doing little things that make them lose. This is a team that skates without any toes, I'm guessing, just because of the number of shots and self-inflicted wounds that they've put into their own feet. I won't say it's been weird to watch, because you see that every time with a young team, every day with a young team. But certainly at the start of the season, they were composed, and we used the word mature an awful lot. That kind of crept back into the conversation after the Vegas loss. So I think, to answer your question in a really long-winded way, the mood is still pretty good.
Gord Wilson is with the Sens in Anaheim. They're playing the Ducks at 3 o'clock this afternoon. We were talking yesterday, Gord. You talk to the coach a lot. Sometimes post-practice or post-game day skate, coaches interview in the pregame show, and then a postgame, as many as three times a day. And there's only so many ways that you can ask questions, and there's only so many ways that the coach can answer the questions. Like at times, I'm sure you are kind of like, I don't even know what to ask, and I'm sure he's like, I don't even know how to answer anymore. Yeah. So my question to you is, how much, if any, has DJ Smith's demeanor, you don't see behind the scenes with the players, obviously, but with you, how much, if any, has his demeanor kind of changed as this season has kind of, to this extent at least, gone off the rails a little bit?
Well, it's obviously we can all hear it in his voice in the postgame, right? And apparently, I guess I'm taking some heat for not asking the right questions on that lovely universe called Twitter. For him, it's obviously gone completely the wrong way, and does not. And if you don't think he feels the pressure, just listen to his voice and the answers that he's giving. I think it was after the New Jersey game, and sometimes, you know what, JR, the easiest way to come up with the answer to your question can be measured in time. And after the 4-3 overtime loss to New Jersey, and look, at DJ is extremely gracious with his time. I think we'll all agree to that. He's very, very accommodating when it comes to dealing with the media, dealing with just even personal conversations, whether it be in the hotel lobby, standing at the bus, in the locker room after practice, you know, before we start our scrums or whatever it might be. He's very, very accommodating. But sometimes, and certainly recently, I can give you a great example. The loss against the Devils, 4-3 overtime loss, when they had ample opportunity to win against the backup goaltender on a 4-on-3. The post-game interview lasted 55 seconds, and probably 25 to 30 of it was me asking questions. And that's an indication of just where his mood is and where his thought process is. You run out of things to say. He can be repetitive if he wants to be, but what's the point? You know, there have been far too many times where, and again, this comes back to self-infliction, right? It comes back to making the same mistakes over and over again. The bottom line comes down to this. And when I use the word compete, I don't mean, you know, working hard and work ethic. Everybody does that. Compete to me means winning battles in one-on-one situations or two-on-two situations. And there have been far too many times where this team has lost the one-on-one battle, and in particular, in its own end. And when you can't win the one-on-one battles, it leads to either chaos in your own end, a goaltender having to come up with a good save, a penalty, or you've allowed a goal. And there's been too many times, for me at least, from my observation, too many times where this team has just lost too many battles. A puck rolls over a stick, and the defenseman goes to get it back and loses the battle because instantly there's somebody on him trying to take advantage of the rolling puck. Well, you lose that battle, and all of a sudden you lose possession of the puck. And I know it sounds simple, but it is simple. And it's pretty clear this team just loses too many of its battles in its own end.
My observation on that, Gord, would also be, so that's going to happen during games. It's been happening a little too much at key times, obviously, for Ottawa. But when it happens, you've got other players in decent position that 100%. Are just staring at that happening rather than, hey, maybe I'll look at the danger around me where the puck might be going next. And that gets down to, and you and I have had this discussion, and I thought DJ Smith, he did point the finger at himself a bit yesterday. Well, I think that was good. I think it was good for fans to hear that. Talking about, hey, listen, it's on me. I got to do the, you know, I got to get these guys coached up. That's the way this works. Everybody works hard in this league.
Yeah.
And work hard. Yeah. Yes. And yes, we want to be the hardest working team in the league. We have that reputation. I think that's very important. I'm not saying it's not important. Does this team work smart enough, though?
No,
I mean,
well,
that's the separation of bad, good, and great in the NHL.
Yeah,
this team does not work smart enough.
No, and you know, you can point to sometimes the post-game conversations and answers from the players when they say, well, we can learn from this. Okay, well, okay. School's in session here. And it's interesting that you bring this up, Steve, because I think there's been a mindset change now, and it's unfortunate because of the hype machine that was created in the offseason for this hockey club, and at times, rightfully so. Everybody anticipated a lot better from this team, fair to say. It's a better team. Personnel-wise, it's a better team, so it's very fair to say this team should be better. I think because of all the hype that everybody buys into, including the players. We all talked to the players who all said, we're all very excited to have Claude Giroux. My goodness, we've just landed Alex DeBrincat. How much better a team are we going to be? And these are the players saying these words. So they bought in as well. And it's very easy to buy in when you get players like that. All-star goaltender Cam Talbot. Woohoo, we're going to, you know, here we go. Well, when things start to go wrong and that hype has been built up, it's hard to, in my opinion at least, it's hard to erase what you've already started to believe in. And now I think over the last week or so, the thought process has shifted to just that, the process. And we heard Jacques Martin talk about this an awful lot, fellas, in the mid-90s when this team was starting to get good. He rarely said, we got a game coming up that we need to win. It was always process first. Think about the process before the end result. And more often than not, certainly through the first dozen games this year, the thought was, well, I wonder what they're going to beat this team by. How many goals are they going to score against that team? This, that, and everything. And when it starts to get a lot tougher and you start to not play as smart as you need to and you get caught with your eyes wide open and you're a deer in a headlight when somebody on your team makes a mistake, and you're thinking of what's the next mistake that's going to be made and how do we counter this? Well, I think the mindset is shifting here to the point where it's just focus in on the process. Focus in on what you have to do on a shift-by-shift basis. Do not think about the end result. And if they're thinking about the end result going into a game today against a team that's equal to them in the standings and they're thinking about end result – I think we all know what the end result is going to be, and it's not going to be favorable to the visiting team. So it's all about process, and let the results fall where they may, and move on to the next one. Lots to build off of. People don't like hearing this, apparently. Lots to build off from the 4-1 loss in Vegas. Okay, but again, show me a good loser, and I'll show you a loser. So just build off that, and it sounds simple enough and cliche enough, but boy, oh boy, what else can you say?
30 seasons you've been doing Sens hockey. It's a little tough to start, Gord, in the early days, but probably went into broadcasting games in those first few seasons ago. They're going to lose, they're going to get smoked, but they built. But there have
30
been,
years later.
Yes, still there. But you would have seen, unfortunately, but this is part of pro sports, you would have seen this kind of play itself out where teams get into a bit of a spiral. And once it gets into a spiral, it's hard to pull out of the spiral.
Yeah.
And then you see the players and to some extent coaches, whatever, you're waiting for the shoe to drop. You're waiting for something mm-hmm. to happen. You have seen mm-hmm. this in seasons previous, similar circumstance. Do you get the feeling from the players when you're able to talk to them and the coach and the coaching staff? Do you feel like around that team right now, they're kind of waiting for the shoe to drop?
I don't. I honestly don't. And believe you me, I've spent a lot of time by myself thinking about this whole process and what happens. Is there going to be a 15th head coach in this franchise history anytime soon? And, you know, a lot of signs point to it just not making any sense right now, certainly with ownership up in the air. And I'm guessing by this time next year, there will be new owners with the hockey team. I just don't think it makes sense. I don't think the players, I don't get that sense at all. And I talked about this in the final third of last season, JR. And again, I equated it to the experiences that I have in covering this team for 30 years. I honestly think that this is one of the tighter knit groups that I have seen in an awful long time, dating back to the mid-90s when the team with Alfie and Redden and Phillips and Radek Bonk and you know, Mike Fisher and Chris Neal, obviously, they started to become a real team. And I'm going to use this is an overused term, but they started to become a real family and a brotherhood, and I'm seeing that with this team as well. I think everybody knows that they're still missing a player that is not signed, that something has to happen before December 1st with Alex Formanton. And I think there's an anticipation that something will, and the anticipation is he either gets signed or he gets traded. And if he gets traded, there has to be a body coming back. And if there's a body that's coming back, I'm guessing the player's mindset is very similar to all of ours, and that is, it better be a player that can help us and make us a little bit better. So I honestly don't think at all that they are waiting for some shoe to drop. My own personal thought anyway, John.
All right. I got three quick ones here to wrap. Ready, Gord? Okay. Does Shabbat play today?
Oh, yeah, well, good question. And I okay. shouldn't have said yeah, because I that's a good question. It's 720.
All right, so you're not sure?
Okay. No, not sure. And the coach wasn't sure either yesterday after practice.
Do you think Forsberg starts?
I don't. I'm going to say Cam Talbot's going to get the call. And again, this is, and it wasn't announced yesterday, it was going to be game time decision. But, and I'm answering the question as if it's my decision. Steve, I think they have to give the net to the goaltender, to one goaltender here. Neither one is providing victories, but Cam Talbot's game was pretty good the other day. Even though they lost, it was better than Anton Forsberg's in San Jose. So I'm going to say Cam Talbot, give him the ball and let him run with it a little bit here. He was an all-star in Minnesota for a reason last season, and well, his numbers are just downright ugly right now at 1-5. I say let him run with it here. And
all right, and one more, and most important here. So JR and I spoke about it. You probably saw this. We're short a game today. They've had to postpone Nashville, Colorado water main break at the Bridgestone Arena. And we talked about that off season when we had water damage in the office down at Canadian Tire Center. Did you ever find the microwave? Whoever walked off with your microwave when it was taken out of the office?
No, no, never found the microwave. We're missing a pillow as well. And I know the stick, the coat rack that I made out of hockey sticks ended up in the coach's room. I don't know how that happened.
Oh, that's
funny. The good news is a pair of my dress shoes that landed and got absolutely soaked in the sewage water that went through the bowels of Canadian Tire Center. I do have those. And they're still underneath the desk in the corner. So
nice with mold growing out of them.
Oh, that's that smell. Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Next time you're broadcasting, Lloydy, think of Gord.
Should probably throw them out. You're right.
All right, Gord. Appreciate the time. Early morning for you. It's an early start. Noon for your time. 3 o'clock here for Sens and Ducks. It's a big game, needless to say, for a lot of different reasons. You and Dean will have the call. Appreciate it as always. Enjoy the games this weekend and look forward to seeing you back home next week.
Always a pleasure, fellas. Thank you. Yep, we'll see you next week.
This is TSN 1200.
Welcome back, 1037. It's JR, Steve Lloyd, and Hammer with you until 11 o'clock. We'll take you to some World Cup action coming up. Netherlands, Ecuador at 11. And then 1 o'clock will be our Sens pregame show, 3 o'clock faceoff. By the way, we're going to play Sens or Sensibility in about 10 minutes or so. If you'd like to get in on it, text us right now at 12-1200, standard messaging rates apply. Say, I'm available in 10 minutes, and your first and last name. We need both those things. First and last name, and I'm available in 10 minutes. Oh, and then you have to be available when we call you in 10 minutes, and you have to answer your phone. Hammer's not going to go, hey, can you call me back to play? Okay, so that's the deal. We'll do it in about 10 minutes. You're playing for 100 level seats to see the Sens in San Jose a week from Saturday at Canadian Tire Center. And it's one final opportunity for Steve Lloyd to not finish last in Sense and Sensibility.
Couple things. You kind of sound like me whenever I know we're going somewhere and I'm talking to my girls. Okay, we're leaving at this time. And that doesn't mean start putting your shoes on and getting your crap on. And we're out the door. And I got to get very specific, just like you. Listen, say you're in, be available. Answer the phone.
See, it's a multi-stage process here, Lloydie.
Oh, and I've got a little information here on the flood conversation that we had
in Nashville
as well. 2016 is when it happened.
Oh, really? Wow.
In Ottawa, yeah. So it was off season leading into Guy Boucher's first year, in his staff taking over the team. A piece of information number two. Now, I thought at the time, and I think this is true, when Gord casually dropped in, so Gord had was there for years. It was four wood Ottawa Senators sticks, like the kind of sticks that are made to give away for the three stars, right? Those kind of sticks.
Yep.
Gord got his hands on some years ago, and he made a coat rack out of them. And a little project that he made, and it sat in that office, and we always hung our coats on that just inside the door. It's one of the things that grew legs as well. And when Gord said it ended up in the coach's office. So Gord oftentimes will do the coach's interview with a pregame show.
Yeah.
The coaches will invite him into the office, get a little more privacy. And he ended up going into the office. And I think he noticed that the rack was in there. And honestly, I think the culprit was associate coach Mark Crawford. It's like, Gord's like, that's my rack in that office.
You know what?
So we think Crow is the one that walked off with it.
Would not surprise me. Would not have surprised me at all. All right, 10:40. Had not seen this story before. So, you know, remember the big story on the eve of the World Cup beginning in Qatar is the about face that they pulled just before the tournament began and announced they weren't going to sell beer at the stadia. And at that point, and Budweiser is like a major sponsor of the World Cup, and they had shipped all the beer for the World Cup to Qatar, and then, well, it's not going to be sold. So, did you know what they're actually going to be doing with all the beer that isn't being drunk?
I want to hear this.
Yes. It's actually being given to the winning country. Whichever team wins the World Cup also wins all of the beer that is in Qatar right now, not to be drunk for the World Cup.
I like our chances now. Canadians like their beer.
Absolutely.
Hey.
Yeah.
Oh. I think I put some money down on Canada to win it all now. This is what we're playing for, boys.
Yeah.
Forget that golden trophy and cash.
They tweeted out, new day,
whatever.
New tweet, winning country gets the buds from the Budweiser Twitter account. So there you go. Now you know. So
going to go through a wall now, for you now.
Well, and listen, not to put a blemish on Budweiser. Which is not necessarily the favored beer of everybody around the world. We got a lot of countries that are very good soccer-playing nations that pride themselves in the quality of their beer that might want to look upon the fact that they'd be bringing home a few plane loads full of Budweiser and go, yeah, no, you know what? We're good. We're good with what we got back home. Like, I can't imagine, like, a Germany, let's say, or the Dutchies. We'll be going, yeah, give us the bud.
Everybody will take it. What are you talking about?
If it's free, it's me?
Bingo.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
Celebrate with the country. Crack them open for your population. Hey, free beer. What's better than celebrating with free beer? If you don't want to drink it as a club, just give it to the people of the Netherlands. They will take care of it.
I don't know. They have a very discerning palate.
Again. It's free. You don't need to spend a cent.
Like I've got a brother-in-law of mine. Whenever he visits, I know I've got to go get some Bud Light. He likes Bud Light. Yeah. I would never buy that on my own. Ever. Ever.
Beer snob.
It's like making love in a canoe. As you know, that saying goes. Yes. It's something close to water. So I'm just not interested. So.
All right. 10:43. We're going to get to, I don't think I've watched 1 second of the Anaheim Ducks this year. I don't know if you have, Lloydy, or not. Obviously, it hasn't gone very well. And when your team is poor, usually statistically, you're not doing very well. Many of your players just kind of perusing what's going on with the team. Trevor Zegras is almost point a game guy, 17 points in 20 games so far. Troy Terry is over a point a game at 21 points in 20 games. So pretty good for them. I picked Mason McTavish to win the Calder Trophy as Rookie of the Year. He's played all 20 games. He has 10 points, 3 goals and 10 points so far, which projects over a full season if he plays all 82 to around 40 points, which is not bad production. But I'm keen to see how Mason McTavish looks at the NHL level. He looked like a man among boys. What did he play for, 11 different teams last year?
Yeah.
It was crazy how many different teams he played for through World Juniors and two actual major junior teams, went to the Olympics. I don't know, was there a world championship in there? I don't know what, but he has been on a lot of different teams. But he was, physically just bigger than a lot of players he was playing against. So I was interested to see how he was going to match up getting to the National Hockey League. So I'm kind of keen to watch Mason McTavish from Carp today as well.
Yeah, well, not bad statistically. 20 games, 3 goals, 7 assists, 10 points on a bad team. Like that's, Anaheim, as we know, is not a very good hockey team. So you're right. That's one guy I think we're all curious around these parts to see, how the rest of his season goes, and they're counting on him to be a big part of the future, right? It's Zegras, it's Troy Terry, and it's McTavish. I think those are your core forwards that you hope are going to be with you when this team really turns it around.
Yeah, Jamie Drysdale, for those that haven't kept up, injured 8 games in. Hadn't scored a point, injured, and out for the year, injured shoulder, which is, that's too bad. I mean, we saw it last year with Shane Pinto, right? You lose an entire development year. Now, Shane Pinto's been able to jump in, and it's like he hasn't missed a beat. But for Jamie Drysdale, and of course, there's a little bit of extra interest in him as well because he and Jake Sanderson, right? That was the big debate. They were the first two defensemen to go in that 2020 draft, and the Sens had the choice, and they went with Sanderson. And listen, there's been no arguing, I don't think, from anybody that watches Sens hockey to say that Jake Sanderson hasn't been outstanding in what we've seen for him so far. So that is always going to be one, even though the viewings between the two playing against each other will not happen very often throughout their careers. That'll be something to kind of watch for as well going forward. But unfortunately not this year because Jamie Drysdale is out.
Yeah, that's always tough for any player, but you're right, especially when you're a young player, a developing player still. Shane Pinto, it's great to see him back healthy, and he's got 8 goals. But that's certainly set him back. Set him back.
All right, we're going to take a break. You got your contestant identified, Hammer? Okay, good. Have you called him or her yet? No. All right. So if you send us a text saying, I'm ready to go, we're going to call you in about 2 minutes, a minute or two. I'm ready to go. I got my five questions. And somebody's got a chance to win 100 level seats to see Sens and Sharks. We'll do that to wrap the show and get you set. We've got some World Cup soccer coming up, top of the hour. Pre-game show, Sens and Ducks at 1. Game itself faces off at 3 right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. All right, welcome back. 10:49. It's been a long week for a lot of different reasons. A lot of late nights watching hockey. A lot of longer than normal shows. We're slaving over a hot microphone. Our time together is coming to an end. But not before an edition of Sens or Sensibility. And we'll see if Lloyd Sweaterman, as Jason York used to lovingly call you, can finally score himself a win. Our contestant this morning is Terry. How are you doing this morning, Terry?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
Excellent, thanks. What do you got planned for this weekend? What is priority one for Terry?
Piling firewood.
Oh, wow. How many cords?
Somewhere between 15 and 20.
Oh, my God. Okay. Wow. Good luck on that.
I could have used you earlier this year.
We'll put you on hold afterward. You can start to talk to Steve Lloyd. He's got a couple of trees he might have for you. All right. Okay, so Terry, here's what you're doing. You're playing for 100 level seats to see the Sens play the Sharks next Saturday night at Canadian Tire Center. Sound good?
Sounds perfect.
Yeah, you got to get one more right than either one of Hammer or Lloydy. It has not proven to be too difficult so far this week. So we'll see how today goes. So I'm going to give you five questions in total. There's two options for each question. You got to pick the one that you think will have the higher answer. Okay? That's all you got to do.
Yes.
You get to go last, so you can strategize. You want to go against the boys or with the boys, you'll go last. Lloydy, going to give you a first crack again today. Here we go.
I just got to beat Hammer. That's all I care about.
It's all about pride. Yeah, the perfect scenario here is Terry first. Yes. Lloydy second, Hammer third.
Correct. Yeah. You want to finish second.
Yeah.
I'm feeling a little bit bullied right now on a Friday morning.
Okay, here we go. Question number one. All right, there's a total of three here. Total goals plus total points plus total shots by Trevor Zegras. So goals plus points plus shots by Zegras, or the highest uniform number of a goal scorer in the Canada-Croatia soccer game. So goals plus points plus shots by Zegras, or the uniform number, highest uniform number of a goal scorer, either team of Canada or Croatia. Lloydy.
I don't have a uniform number. Like, do we have some crazy high numbers like we
no,
do?
No. The soccer no? numbers are not high, ever.
Ever.
And don't forget about the dreaded nil-nil.
I'll go soccer.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to keep going with the opposite of Lloydy.
It's worked so far.
Proven to be a winning strategy. All right, Terry, you going with the Zegras collective or the uniform number of the soccer?
I'm going to take the soccer uniform number.
Okay.
I'm with you, Lloydy.
Number two, total penalty minutes in today's Sens-Ducks game. Total penalty minutes, both teams, or the shortest made field goal in the Packers-Eagles Sunday night game. If there are no field goals, that means it's zero. So total penalty minutes in the Sens-Ducks game, or the shortest made field goal in the Packers-Eagles game. Lloydy.
Oh, man.
Wow.
I'll take penalty minutes.
Okay, good. Because it's easier for you to compute.
Yeah, I'm just like, what did he just say? Okay, he's going high and then low.
Yeah.
I'll go penalty minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Simmer's not here for that question. That would have completely sent him off
his rocker. It's 10:52 at the end of this week. What are you doing to me with that kind of question?
I'm going Pims, too. A couple of teams that don't want to lose this game, they're going to be feisty.
Okay. Terry?
Oh, man, I got to go with the penalty minutes.
Okay. All right.
The wash.
Number three, Alphonso Davies, minutes played Sunday versus Croatia. And again, he went the entire way in game one. And we don't count injury time, by the way. It's 90 is your max here. Or total shots, Sens and Ducks. So Davies, minutes played, or total shots, Sens and Ducks.
Davies.
You know, I'm going to go total shots. I'm going to flip the script on this
one. Of course you are.
All right, Terry, you going with the Davies minutes or the total shots?
Got to go with Davies minutes.
Okay. Must win for Canada. They might milk the Davies train as best they can. All right, number four, two more to go. Brady Tkachuk, goals plus hits in today's game or total goals in the England-U.S. soccer game? Tkachuk, goals plus hits or total goals in the England-U.S. soccer game?
Brady, all day long.
Oh, you've got the roadie scorekeeper, though, Lloydy.
Brady Tkachuk has had a couple of zero-hit games this year, believe it or not. Hard to believe.
Not this afternoon, he won't, John.
Right, there you go.
There we go.
Give me the soccer.
Wow, okay. All right, Terry.
Do we just skip Hammer? He's going to go against me.
Got to go with Tkachuk.
Yep. Okay.
Terry's put all his eggs in Lloydy's basket.
Yeah, you've agreed.
Terry's good people.
Oh, that's right.
No, that scared the hell out of me. So.
Completely.
I agree.
Four for four.
You're four for four with Lloydy, Terry. So.
We're due. Yeah. We're due.
Okay. All right, last one. Thomas Chabot, highest ice time rounded to the nearest minute in either of the games. So if he plays both games, it's whichever he plays more in, ice time. Or if he plays neither, then it's zero. Or point total of the winning team in the Vanier Cup tomorrow. That's Laval versus Saskatchewan, university football in Canada. So, Thomas Chabot, highest ice time, rounded to the nearest minute this weekend, either game, or the winning team's point total in the Vanier Cup. Lloydy.
I don't think you have much confidence in the offense of our collegiate football here in this country. I'm taking the Vanier Cup winning point total.
Okay.
I'm going with Laval as well.
Okay. Terry, you going with the boys? You going with Lloydy 5 for 5, or are you going on your own?
As much as it pains me, I got to go with the Vanier Cup.
Okay. All right.
You can only beat me to get the tickets.
You can only beat Hammer to get the tickets. All right. We'll do up all the math for you on Monday, Terry, and let you know whether you've won the tickets. In the meantime, good luck with those 20 cords of wood this weekend. That sounds like fun.
I appreciate that.
All right. Have a great day, and thanks for listening.
You as well. Thank you, guys.
All right. There he goes. Terry, and we'll do all the math and add it all up on Monday. All right, Lloydy, it's been a slice. Thanks for the extra hours.